Today's daf is Shabbos daf Samach Dalet. In today's daf, we're going to discuss four topics. First, we're going to discuss the circumstances that sackcloth made of goat's hair can become tamei, both from a sheretz and from a dead body. That's going to take a lot of amar aleph. Then we're going to learn a lot of lessons from Sukkim that describe the aftermath of Melchemes Midyan. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to give a lengthy list of items that a woman can walk out with into her Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, and that's going to lead into a discussion of different types of hair that she can wear to tie to her own hair to make her hair look fuller. And then the daf concludes with the discussion of whether the rules of walking into a chatzer are identical with the rules of walking into Rosh Hashanah. Those items that she's not allowed to walk out to into Rosh Hashanah, are they automatically also aser to walk out into a chatzer with? So we are holding on the very top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. We are at Mosav Sak Al Abeged Shetamei Mishum Arig. We had mentioned the Braisa on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, where this line made it into that Braisa. This line that Mosav Sak Al Arig, that sackcloth made out of goat's hair, has one additional element on top of regular cloth, shetameh mishum arig. Sackcloth is tameh, mishum arig is tameh when it's woven, as opposed to regular beged. So we don't know what that line means. Ask the Gemara, atu beged lav arig hu? What do you mean to tell me that sackcloth is woven and therefore is tameh, but beged isn't woven? Beged also is woven. So what's the Braisa talking about? Hachi ka'amar, this is what it means to say. Most of sakala beged, afal pi she'eino arig, tameh. That a sack is as something over a beged, in that sackcloth, even if it's not woven, it's going to be tameh. Whereas beged is only tameh if it's woven. So ask the Gemara, l'mai chazi, what's it usable for if it's not woven? If it's just a piece of sackcloth that was never woven together, it's just strands of goat hair, then it's not sackcloth. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan shekein ani kolea shalosh nimin v'tola b'tzavar bito. Sometimes a poor person will braid three strands of goat hair and will hang it on his daughter's neck. It will be like a necklace, like a tachshit for her, and that little braiding of the three hairs has a halachic status of ariga, of being woven, and therefore even though we say afal pi she'eino arig, it means it's not arig mamish. It doesn't literally have to be woven, but it is woven enough to have the halachic status of a beged that can become tameh. That's the chiddush of the braisa, that most of sakal beged she'tameh mishum arig, that it's considered to be arig even when it's not really woven. It's just braided, three strands are just braided together. Tan Rabbanon, sak, in the ala sak, minayin l'rabos as a kilkali ves a chabak. We only know that sak is included, that a shepherd would wear. Sak is sackcloth that a shepherd would wear. How do I know that various items that they would put on an animal, over the chest of the animal, over the belly of the animal, how do I know that's also included as a beggar that could be mekabel tuma? Tamalomar o sak. That's why the pasuk says, Osak, that the extra word O teaches me that those are included as well. Yachol shani marba esachavolim vesamashichos. So I might think we should also include those types of sackcloth that are not made from spun threads, meaning not like the kolei shalosh nimin of the ani that we mentioned before that are spun, and therefore when they just braided them slightly together, that had a din of an ariga. I might think that the various types of measuring strings, chavolim and meshichos, which aren't even spun, should also be included, and therefore should be mekabel tuma, tamlom or sak. That's why the pasuk says sak, masak tavoi va'arig, just like sackcloth is something that's spun and woven, I've called tavivarik. So to anything that's spun and woven, but if it's never spun in the first place, then it's not going to be included in the parsha of tuma. Period. Harei Omer b'meis. It says by Tumas Meis, b'chol kli ar b'chol masi izim tischatau, that all of these the items made out of goat hair are going to become tame and therefore require tara from Tumas Meis. L'rabos hakil kli v'sachabak, and that comes to include these items that are made out of goat hair that they would put on an animal, the breast strap over the animal and the belly strap. Yachl shani marbe sachavolim v'samashichos. So I might come to include chavolim and mashichos as well, the measuring ropes as well. Meaning now we're talking in Tumas Meis. Previously we were talking in Tumas Sheretz, now I'm talking to Tumas Meis. And where it says, V'dinu, do you, as Rashi writes, v'dinu shalon narbe, v'lot tzarech kralimute, that it's logical that we should not be marbe them. You don't need a pasuk to be memayit them, meaning it doesn't even make sense to think that chaval me'mashicho should be included in the tuma in the first place. Right? When we say yachol she'ani marbe sachaval me'mashichos, sounds like about to quote a pasuk to tell me not to be marbe them. I never would have thought to be marbe them in the first place, so why would I need a pasuk? After all, timei b'sheretz v'timei b'meis, when things become tamei b'sheretz and things become tamei b'meis, mak she'timei b'sheretz lo timei ela tavei v'arug, just like goat hairs that become tamei b'sheretz only become tamei if they're spun and woven, avke she'timei b'meis lo timei ela tavei v'arug, so too, items that become tamei from tumas meis, goat hairs that become tamei from tumas meis should only become tamei if they're tavei v'arug, and therefore there's no hava amina to include chaval me'mashichos. Once we already had the drasha that we started the daf with about 5-10 lines ago, where we said that something that these chaval me'mashichos, these measuring strings, are not going to be subject to tumas sheretz because they're not tavoy, they're not spun. So then it should be obvious that they're not going to be subject to tumas meis because they're not spun. Because the rules should be similar for tumas meis and tumas sheretz. Says the Gemara, is that a valid comparison? Hain, you think that's really true, that just because something is not mekabel tumas sheretz, it shouldn't be mekabel tumas meis? Im heikel b'tamei sheretz, shehi kala, neikel b'tamei ameis, shehi chamura. Just because you're mekel by tumas sheretz, and you're going to say that something that's not spun is not going to be mekabel tumas sheretz, that's because tumas sheretz is a lower type of tumah. But tumas meis, which is a very severe kind of tumah, maybe can have an impact even on something that's not spun. So it is a valid hava amina to assume that these chavalim and mashichos should become tamei b'tumas meis. So tamalomer, that's why pasuk says beged or beged va'or l'gzera shava. We have a gzera shava that says beged va'or nemer beged va'or b'sheretz v'nemer beged va'or b'meis. We can't just make a binyanav and say we compare sheretz to meis because you can't compare the two. Sheretz is less severe than meis, but a gzera shava, that's where the Torah directly links the two. The Torah draws our attention to the fact that the two are linked la'halacha. So ma beged va'or ha'amar b'sheretz l'timei ela tavi va'arug, just like beged va'or that it says by sheretz, we're only mitame if it's both spun and woven, and that's why these chavalim and mashichos, these measuring strings, are not included in the tumah. Af beged va'or ha'amar b'meis l'timei ela tavi va'arug, so too beged va'or that it says by meis, by tumas meis, is only mitame if it's spun and woven. Uma beged va'or ha'amar b'meis tamei kol ma'isi izim, af beged va'or ha'amar b'sheretz tamei kol ma'isi izim. And just like beged va'or that it says by meis, it's mitame any ma'isi izim, anything made out of goats, so too beged va'or that it says by sheretz is also mitame kol ma'isi izim. Ein li ela davar abam mini izim. Good, so I only know things that come from a goat. How do I know to include even items that are made out of the tail of a horse or the tail of a cow? Tamalomar osak. That's what the extra phrase osak comes to teach me. That sackcloth doesn't have to be made out of goats. Sackcloth could be made out of other animals as well. Wait a second. We already used osak to teach me that the various items made out of goat hairs that they would put around an animal's belly and an animal's chest, that those items are also mekabel tumah. So I already used osak to be marbe something. How then can I have osak to be free to teach me about zan of sus and zan of para? Answers the Gemara, hani mili mekame delesi gzera shava. That was before we had a gzera shava. Hasha da asi gzera shava a yasule. Once we have a gzera shava, then osak becomes extra. Meaning the only reason I needed osak to teach me a riboy of the straps around the animal was because I didn't know that I can link the parshios of tumas sheretz with tumas meis and learn one from the other. Now that I have the link of the two parshios, that osak is extra, and therefore I can use it to teach me davar abba Mizanav Asus, Mizanav Hapara, that it could include items that come from a horse tail or a cow tail. Ve'en li'al b'sharetz, b'tumas meis minayin. Good, but now I only know that horse tail and cow tail items could be mitame b'tumas sharetz. How do I know that could be mitame b'tumas meis? So v'dinu, time b'meis v'time b'sharetz. Makesh time b'sharetz asa dov rabba mizanav Asus, mizanav Hapara k'maisi izim. Afkesh time meis asa dov rabba mizanav Asus, mizanav Hapara k'maisi izim. Well, the Torah tells me that there is something called tumas sharetz, and there is something called Tumas Meis. So probably, a binyanav, we should relate the two to each other. That just like by Tumas Sharetz, something made out of a horse tail or a cow tail has the same status as something made out of goat hair, so too by Tumas Meis, something made out of a horse tail or a cow tail should have the same status as something made out of goat hair. So says the Gemara, the same challenge we had before. You can't make a binyanav between Tumas Meis and Tumas Sharetz. They're very different. Hein, im hirva b'tumas erev, shimaruba, nirva b'tumas shiva, shimuetes. If you're going to be marba by tumas erev, by tumas sharetz, which is only tumas erev, it's only tamei for a day, which is maruba, which includes many things that can become tamei with some for a short period of time. You're going to be marba for tumas shiva, which is muetes, which is something that's very limited because it's such a severe form of tumah. You know, here we're asking in the reverse. Previously we said that you can't compare Tumas Meis to Tumas Sharetz is because Tumas Meis is so strong it should be able to be metame more things. Over here we're saying, no, maybe that which we're told, that a horse hair and cow hair can be metame with Tumas Sharetz, maybe that's only Tumas Sharetz. That Tumas Meis can't be metame as many things because Tumas Meis is so impactful, it's so strong, the Tumas lasts so long, maybe we won't apply it quite as liberally as we'll apply to Masheretz, which is only going to be Batami to Maserev anyway. So Tamalomar, Begir Va'ar, so the Gemara comes back to that Gzera Shava, that we're not going to try to learn a Binyanav from Tumas Sharetz to Tumas Meis. We're learning a Gzera Shava. Nemar Begir Va'ar B'Sharetz, V'Nemar Begir Va'ar B'Meis. It says Begir Va'ar by Sharetz, it says Begir Va'ar B'Meis. Ma Begir Va'ar Amar B'Sharetz, Asadav Rabba Mizanav Asos, Mizanav Apar K'maisi Izim. Just like when it says Begir Va'ar by Sharetz, we know that it doesn't only include goat hair products, it also includes horse hair products and cow hair products. Av begadam rabbi meis, asadav rabbi mizan of asus, mizan of apara, kemaisi izim. So too, when it says begad va'ar rabbi meis, we know to include not just goat hair products, but horse hair and cow hair products as well. Mufna, and you need to say that if we're going to apply this Gezer Shava to learn Tumas Meis from Tumas Sharetz, you have to say that these psukim are open to make this Gezer Shava, meaning the words Beged Va'ar by Meis and the words Beged Va'ar by Sharetz are open to teach me to link the two parashios. They're not already being used for other drashos. And the Gemara is going to explain that there are really three types of Gzer Shavas, but two basic types of Gzer Shavas, what we'll call a Gzer Shavas Mufna and a Gzer Shavas She'enu Mufna. If a Gzer Shavas is Enu Mufna, so sometimes, yes, we may be able to link the two parshios, but if there's any reason to assume that they shouldn't be related to each other, we can Meshivin. We can Lemaidin, but then Meshivin. We could ask on that the two parshios aren't exactly the same and blow up the whole Limud. But if it's Gzer Shava Mufna, if it's wide open, that none of these words are being used for other drashos, then the Maiden Ve'in Meshivin, then we'll be able to learn the Gzer Shava, and we won't be able to respond, even if there is something that should indicate that the parashios are not exactly the same, we're not going to be able to undo the Gzer Shava. So says Maru Mufna, this has to be a Mufna Gzer Shava, it has to be open. Di'ilav Mufna Ikal Mifrach, because if it were not Mufna, we were allowed to ask questions that, hey, these two parashios shouldn't be connected to each other, well then we could ask a very good question. Mala Sheretz Shekemetame Bekadasha, that Sheretz has something that mace doesn't, in that Sheretz is metame something that's as small as the size of a lentil, which a mace is not. So le'ei afnuyim mufne, says Gemara, yes, you're right, it is a gzer shava mufne. Michti Sheretz iskish l'shechvazera, meaning why are the words beged va'or extra by Sheretz? I don't need the words beged va'or by Sheretz, because Sheretz is already compared to shechvazera, the tumah of shechvazera. D'chsiv, meaning we're bringing in a third tumah over here. Shechvazera. D'chsiv, ish asher teitzi mimenu shichva zera, v'samach lei ish asher yiga b'chol sheretz. So right next to the pasuk about shichva zera, there's a pasuk about sheretz. Uksiv be b'shichva zera, and it already says b'shichva zera. V'chol beged v'chol or asher yiel of shichva zera. That beged v'or can become tamei with shichva zera. So beged v'or, the kasher rachmanu b'sharetz lamali. So then why does the Torah have to again repeat the phrase beged v'or by tuma of sheretz? So shma mina alafnu yei. It must be that beged v'ar that it says by sheretz are extra words. They're not used for any limud dafka right there on the spot, and therefore it's open to teach me for the gezeirah shava, to be used for the gezeirah shava. Says mar vakati mufnu mitzarechadu. So far you only opened up the words beged v'ar, chal beged v'chal ar, that it says by tuma sheretz. But you, in order to make it a real gezeirah shava mufna, you have to show that the words v'chal beged v'chal ar that it says by tuma mace are also free. If y'all, that being open from one side is good enough, and that you could learn the gezeirah shava and you can't respond to it, you can't ask any kashas on it, fine. So then it's good enough to show me that by sheretz b'chol beged b'chol ar is extra. But if you hold that lemeidin u'mashivin, that you can learn the gezeirah shava, but you can also ask kashas on the gezeirah shava, so then ma'ikel lememar, then you're going to need to show me that it's mufna mishneit stadin. And so gemara demes nami afnuim mufna. The phrase is also mufna by when it comes to tumas meis. Michti meis iskish l'shichva zera d'chsiv v'anogeh b'kol tamei nefesh o isha shetetzi menu shichva zera. Just like tumas sheret is compared to shichva zera, meis is also linked to shichva zera, because it says v'anogeh b'kol tamei nefesh o isha shetetzi menu shichva zera. So we see the two are linked right there in the pasuk. There's a hekesh right there in the pasuk. U'ksiv b'shichva zera, and it already says b'shichva zera v'chol beged v'chol ar. So beged v'ar d'chaz rachman b'meis lamali shema min alafnu yei. Why does it have to say beged v'ar again by mace? So it must be that it's there to show me that the gezeirah shava is mufna. So when all the dust settles, what do we come out with? Unlike other cloths, sackcloth can even become tameh from a sheretz if it's not woven, since an ani is kalei shalosh nimin and is tola b'tzav rabito. And then we said that goat's hair can only become tameh with tumas sheretz if it's made from spun and woven threads, even if it's made for animals, the breast strap and the belly strap over the animals. And the Gemara uses a gzer shava, beged va'ar, to teach that it can only become tameh from a dead body if it's made from spun and woven threads. And from the phrase osak, we derive that even items made for horsetails and cowtails can become tameh from a sheretz and from a mace. And then the Gemara just says the gezeirah shava that connects to tumas sheretz to tumas meis has to be a gezeirah shava mufna. That's not open to any questioning, because if it were open to questioning, we could point out that tumas sheretz is stricter than tumas meis, since tumas sheretz can be conveyed even to something the size of a lentil and doesn't require a kezias like tumas meis. And beged va'ar is, and we prove that beged va'ar is extra, because we could have learned beged va'ar by sheretz and beged va'ar by meis from beged va'ar by shichva zera, since the Torah directly links both the parsha of sheretz and the parsha of meis to the parsha of shichva zera. Okay, that's the hard part of the daf. Says the Gemara Vayitri now. V'nikrav v'karban Hashem ish asher matzah kli zav etz adav v'tzamed v'tabas agdav v'komas. In describing the clay Midian, the items that they got from the war with Midian, we talk about agil v'komas. Amar Blazer, agil zed defus shel dadi, was some type of ornament worn around the chest. Komas zed defus shel beisarechem. Defus is like a cast, like a molding that was worn ornamentally. So a komas is a defus shel beisarechem, some type of casting that they would wear around the Beis HaRechem. Amar of Yosef, Ihachi, Hainu Mintagraminon, Machuch. He says, now I get why they call it a Machuch. Davra, maybe the Gichuch, because something that brings about laughter, brings about mocking. Amar le Rabba, Migufe de Krash Ramina. You already see from the word Komas itself that it refers to something that's worn on the Beis HaRechem. Komas, Kan makom zima, that gichuch isn't makri, it's leitzanus. Leitzanus is that it's an area of that brings about lightheadedness and that kind of behavior. But he says anyway, you see from the word itself, kumas is a nutrikun of kan makom zima. This is the place of zima. This is a place where znus happens. So that's how it's on the Beis HaRechem. Once we're talking about the Klei Midyan. So the Gemara goes on to discuss a number of lessons from the Pesukim that describe the aftermath of the war with Midyan. So Moshe gets angry al Pekudei Achayil. He gets angry at the officers of the army that fought in Midyan. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Arvua, Amar Len Moshe Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Shema Chazartem L'Kol Kulchem HaRishon. Maybe you guys did something terrible. You were mezana with the Benos Moav. Is that what you, just like you were mezana with the Benos Moav, maybe you were mezana with the Benos Midian also. That's why you guys want to bring a karban. Meaning he knew they came back from war. They said we need to bring a karban. Moshe Rabbeinu gets nervous. You need to bring a karban. What did you do? Did you do like you did before? The same you did with Benos Moav. We had a repeat performance now, and you were mezana with the Benos Midian also. So Amr lo nifkad mimenuish. The response was no. We didn't lose a single man. Meaning, Rashi says, "Lenechsa midas Yehudis." We didn't lose our Judaism at all. We're good. We didn't commit any such avera. Amar lahen im kein kapara lama. So he said to them, cool, great, that's fantastic. Then why do you need a kapara? Amar lo imide avera yatsanu, mide hirhu lo yatsanu. We didn't violate the avera, but hirhu avera we did. We did violate hirhu avera. Frek tosos sim tomar va'afilu yifas Torah hutzrelahem. You know, even if they would have slept with them, they're allowed to have yifas Torah. Hirhu they're not allowed to have. They're even allowed to sleep with yifas Torah. So v'yeshlomer de mikol makom shayich b'isur k'darmin v'chashakt b'vlo b'chaverta. That it's true that once they have the hirhu, once they have the cheshek for this woman, they're allowed to take her, but they're not allowed to have the hirhur in the first place. It's still considered something that's inappropriate to get to that point. Once they're at that point, they're allowed to take a yifas tohar, but that's how Tosfos suggests. It sounds from Tosfos yifas tohar is already knowing, the din of yifas tohar was knowing already bibinos midyan. A lot of the chronim point out that it seems that yifas tohar is only lachar kibush though. So it's very difficult. It seems from the chumash that it's only lachar kibush. So it's very difficult to understand why Yifas Tawar was mutter for them if it shouldn't be mutter until Biasa Aretz. Okay, so that's one difficulty over here. I saw that Shor Mitzvah Balach calls the Divrei Sha'ul al Torah has a very nice word over here as to why it is they needed a Korban Ali Hirhur. Normally we say Machshav Ra, Kodesh Baruch Hu is not Mitzvah for the Maisa. Only Machshav Torah, Machshav Tova, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives credit for, not Machshav Ra. So he says in Divrei Sha'ul al Torah, in Parshas Matos, the Mepharshim say, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu not Mitzrayim Machshav Ra? Because if you didn't do the Machshava, even though the Yetzer Hara, meaning why is it that Machshava Tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards you for? Because if you didn't do the Mitzvah, because the Yetzer Hara stopped you from doing the Mitzvah, so nevertheless, at least you had a good Machshava, so there's nothing wrong with the Machshava. But a Machshava Ra, if you didn't go through with it, even though you had a Machshava Ra, it shows a greater koach to overcome the Yetzer Hara, that it's that you managed to overcome the Yetzer Hara. You had the Machshava, so you had the Yetzer Hara working in full force, and then you still didn't do the Maisa, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to count the Machshava Ra. So he says maybe that's Pshat. They were makrav a carbon. The carbon wasn't a carbon for Kapara, it was a carbon Toda, that even though they had the Yetzer Hara, meaning they said, Lo Nifkan Mimenuish, meaning if the Avera was in the Machshava, so what do you mean that we didn't do any Avera? Lo Nifkan Mimenuish. You did do an Avera, you did an Avera in the Machshava. No, the point is the carbon Toda, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they were able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. It's a nice vart, but it doesn't really fit because the idea that Machshava Tov, that Machshava Ra, Hashem doesn't punish for, there's an exception to that rule, and that is Machshava of Hirhuri Znus. Hirhuri Aver, Losur Achre Levavchem, is Machshava. So even though, in general, if you think about eating Chazer, and then you overcome the Yetzer Hara, and you don't eat the Chazer, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish you for the Machshava, and Adrab, you get rewarded because you overcame the Yetzer Hara, we don't say the same by Hirhuri Aver. It's Losur Achre Nechem, Losur Achre Levavchem, you're not supposed to, it's Losur Achre Nechem, you're not supposed to follow after your eyes, that even the Machshava a person is not supposed to have. That's Gemara Avodah Zarah. Lo yahara adam yom v'yavul de tuma belayla. The difficulty some of the Achronim raise is that lo yahara adam yom v'yavul de tuma belayla sounds like the Isra of Hirur Avera, of Hirur with Znus, is only because it might be yavul de tuma belayla, but it itself isn't really the Avera, whereas all the other Makaros sound like it is an Avera. That, like over here, we say that they needed to bring a Karban for the Hirhur itself. Sounds like the Hirhur itself is the Avera. That's why the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says that Hirhur's Nus is one of the things that people will never do Tshuva for, that it's impossible to do Tshuva for. He has a number of items that you can't do Tshuva for. Some you can't do Tshuva for, he doesn't think that it's impossible to do Tshuva for, he just thinks nobody ever will do proper Tshuva for them. And this is on that list. That's a Hirhur Avera, something that people never, not that it's impossible to do Tshuva for, but people never take it seriously enough to do Tshuva for, because they don't think it's an Avera, but it really, really is an Avera. L'surach re'enechem is a real Avera. People think, I didn't do anything, I was just looking. No, but it is a real Avera. Okay, so it says Gemara, Miyad v'nikrav is Karban Hashem. They went and they brought a Karban. So Tandbe Rav Shaul taught, what do they need Kapara for? V'prei she'zanuei ne'em min ha'erva. Because they were zanuei ne'em min ha'erva. They enjoyed what they saw. Why does the Torah list together the different types of tachshitin, those that are worn outside and those that are worn in private areas? So to teach us a lesson, that's b'katana shel isha, kil mustakel b'makom haturfa. To teach us that someone is mustakel, even a netz b'katana of a woman, it's as if he's mustakel b'makom haturfa. That again, this is not kolaroa etz b'katana. You'll have to see netz b'katana. A woman doesn't have to cover her. She doesn't have to wear gloves. She doesn't have to cover as b'katana, because there are certain parts of her body that are objectively erva, but even parts that aren't erva, a person is not allowed to gaze at in order to get hana'a from. So mistakel is the issue of gazing. So that he's not allowed to do even on etz b'katana of an isha. Says the Mishnah, Yotzi isha b'chut eseir, bein mishala, bein mishal chavirta, bein mishal behema. A woman is allowed to go out with chut eser that she would braid into her hair, whether it's her own hair that she's braiding into her hair, whether it's her friend's hair that was cut that she's braiding into her hair, or even if it's animal hair. Ubetotefes ubesarvitin bezman shein tevurin, and different types of ornaments that she would wear on the front of her head, she's allowed to wear when they're sewed in. Bekavul bepeh nachris lechatzer, a wool hat and a peh nachris, a shetel, a wig, she's allowed to go out with into a chatzer, but only into a chatzer, apparently not into a rishos harabim. Bimoch sheba azna, she can go out with a piece of cotton in her ear to, Rashi says, to soak up whatever fluids she has coming out of her ear. Ubimoch sheba sandal, or a piece of cotton that she would put in her shoe to make her shoe more comfortable. Ubimoch sheba skina linidasa, or a piece of cotton that she would put by the osomakum to catch any damnida that's coming out. Bipilpul, with a peppercorn that she might put in her mouth if she has bad breath. Or begilgal melech, or a block of salt that she would use for therapeutic reasons for her teeth, if her teeth are hurting her. The kaldavar shenitha l'toch pia, and anything that's put into her mouth. So she's allowed to walk out with that stuff on Shabbos, as long as she doesn't put it there on Shabbos. If it falls out, then she's not allowed to put it back. Shein totavas, shein shalzav, Rabbi Matir v'chom mosim. False teeth or gold teeth, Rabbi's matir, the chum say is asir. So a couple of things over here. First of all, what's the problem we said that she can't put it in the salt in her mouth on Shabbos or anything in her mouth. So if you look at Tosos, he writes Pirush Rav Rabbeinu Puras Gzeira Mishum Shchika Samanim Kibin De Rufuahu, that this is part of the Yisra of Rufuah, that Rufuah is Asar on Shabbos, a Gzeira Mishum Shchika Samanim, that we're afraid you might come to grind up the herbs to make a Rufuah. V'lo Nira Im Kain Im Nafla Ma'lo Taksi. But if that were the case, then why wouldn't you be able to put it back if it fell out? Hamperk Basud Erevin, the Gemara in Erevin tells us, Machzirin Retia B'Migdash Avalo B'Medina, that in the Migdash you're allowed to replace a bandage. If it falls off, you're allowed to put it back. You're not allowed to do it B'Medina, but V'al Kan Lo Asrin L'Hachzir Retia Elo Mishum Shema Yimrach. The only reason you're not allowed to put a bandage back on B'Medina is because we're afraid you might do M'Mareach, you might rub an ointment on your skin. V'Hachlo Shayich Miruach. But over here, it's not Shayich Miruach. Over here, we're talking about things you put in your mouth. So it should have the same din as the Mikdash, where if something that was placed, Lashum Rafua, fell off, you should be allowed to put it back. Dein Shayich Miruach, Ela B'Davar Lach, Kegon Ratiya, because Miruach only makes sense on Davar Lach, on something that can be rubbed. Av Pilpul in Begalgala, Lo Shayich Miruach. But by the peppercorns and the salt, it's not Shayich any Miruach. So why is it, if it's an Isra Mishum Shchik Sammanim, why would it be Aser to put it back on? L'chein nira li, t'bilvad shlo titen l'charchila, meshe nira k'ma aremes lo tzia. No, shlo titen l'charchila is don't put it on while you're inside, because it looks like you're doing a harama in order to transport it to the outside. U'l'pirusek kol hanak l'el, mok shabazim, shabasandala asurin, lasis l'charchila. And if that's the case, all of these items you're not allowed to put in at all, because we're afraid it's going to look like a harama to try to carry them out. Vim tomerim kein hechi shrole kaman parafas ala even ala egos vanir kamar remes. Why is it that other items we're going to allow putting on? V'yeshlam b'dasim nikra davar v'akol yodin delakach tzricha v'leka shum chashasha al b'davar shinosenes b'toch pia inim yodim lami hinosenes. He says it depends where you're putting it on. Something that you put in your mouth, it looks like you're hiding it. It looks like you're trying to hide it so that you could bring it outside. And that's why we're going to be extra concerned over here. But the more interesting halacha lemaisa issue that emerges from this Mishnah is Pei Anachris. The Mishnah mentions Pei Anachris as a well-known Shilta Giborim. Shilta Giborim points out that Mikan Raya, that it's mutter for an Isha Nesua, for a married woman, to wear a shetel. That you don't have to worry, even though we know a married woman is not allowed to have her hair uncovered, but a shetel is no problem. She's allowed to, even though it's hair, it's human hair, she's allowed to wear it. And she could make it out of her own human hair. Someone just asked me this week, someone who's a teacher, said, one of my students asked the most amazing question I never heard before. Can a woman make a shetel out of her own hair? So yeah, this is a major discussion. The Shilta Giborim raises this issue, and he says, here you see a raya, because what are we talking about? Why is a woman putting hair over her hair? We must be talking about a married woman, and we said she's going outside with her own hair, or a friend's hair, or an animal's hair, so you see it could even be her own hair. That's the great chiddush of the Shilta Giborim. Now the Be'er Sheva and Siman Yud Ches has a serious arichus to try to reject this raya, and to show that it's not true, that just because our Mishnah speaks about a woman who might stick some hair into her own hair doesn't mean that a married woman is allowed to go outside fully outside with a sheitel. Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Chuvus Yavis Chelik Al Siman Tes says that the heter also is docha the heter, that the isra pei anachris is an isra that applies begova harosh on the top of the head, and that she's not allowed to wear a sheitel. Here we're talking about things that are by the temples that she would wear just for decorative purposes, but it was not part of the actual what she would actually cover her hair with. Okay, so that's a major discussion that emerges from this Mishnah. Says the Gemara, we mentioned three types of hair she goes out with. We mentioned her own hair, her friend's hair, and an animal's hair. Why do we have to mention all of those things? So Tzricha, we need to mention all three types. Had I only been told about her own hair, I would say that's because it's not ma'is. Her own hair, she's not going to become disgusted with, and therefore there's less likelihood that she's going to remove it. But something that's ma'is, she's more likely to remove, and therefore she'll end up carrying it. So I might think her friend's hair, which is a little more disgusting to her, maybe she should not be allowed to walk out without on Shabbos. And had I only been told about Chavirta, about her friend's hair, I would say debas minahu, because at least it's human hair, so it's not so disgusting to her. Avul de behema lav bar minahu emalo, but an animal's hair, which isn't even the same min, doesn't even look the same, so I might think she would take it off because people are going to laugh at her, and she'll remove it out of embarrassment, and then she'll end up carrying it. So tzricha, therefore, we need to be told that she's allowed to go out with it. We said, but the one thing you can't do is a young woman should not go out with an old woman's hair braided into her own hair, and an old woman shouldn't go out with a young woman's hair braided into her own hair, meaning someone who has gray hair shouldn't go out with black hair braided in, and vice versa. So Bishlam is a kena b'shal yalda sheva chula. I understand very well an older woman going out with a younger woman's hair is a shevach, so you need to tell me a chiddush that she can't go out with it, because I would think she should be able to go out with it because she's never going to remove it. Why should she remove it? It makes her look better. Ela yalda b'shal zakena amai kenai hula. But yalda b'shal zakena, now over here, Tosis points out the word amai is a little misplaced. It should really be pshita. Of course she can't go out with it. I mean, you're talking about a young woman going out with a gray shetel, so to speak. So that would make her look terrible, make her look much, much older. So of course she shouldn't go out with it. Of course there's a concern that she might take it off and she might end up carrying it. It's a ganai for her. So answer Gemara, I did tana zakena b'shal yalda, tana nami yalda b'shal zakena. Yeah, but once it tells me that zakena b'shal yalda can't go out, so we learn that a young girl also can't go out with an older woman's hair. So we mentioned both of them together, even though in a chinami, it's obvious that a yalda can't go out b'shal zakena. The couple pay a nachris l'chatzer. So he said she can go out with a wool hat or a pay a nachris into a chatzer. So now the Gemara has a machlokas amarayim. What about everything else? Everything that we say you're not allowed to go out with into Rosh Hashanah, are you also not allowed to go out with them into a chatzer? So amarav, kol sha'asu cham latzeis bol Rosh Hashanah, asu latzeis bol l'chatzer, chutz mikavul pay a nachris. Everything you're not allowed to go out into Rosh Hashanah with, you're also not allowed to go out into the chatzar with. Meaning the chatzar is a public enough area that it's a different Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and therefore even though it's only Yasa Midrabanan to carry out into the chatzar in the first place, but although we're so machmir about it, that even all those items we said you're not allowed to go out with wearing in Rosh Hashanah, you're also not allowed to go out wearing them into the chatzar, with the exception of Kavul Pei Nachrus. Those are the only things that were makel that you can go out into a chatzer with. Rabbi Anani Bar Sasu Mishmed Rabbi Shmuel Amar Hakol Kekavul. He says no, everything has the same din as the Kavul and the Pei Nachris, that just like Kavul and Pei Nachris can't go in Rosh Hashanah, but you can go into the chatzer, so too all the other items that you're not allowed to go in Rosh Hashanah, you are allowed to go into the chatzer. Tanan b'kavul pei nachris l'chatzer. So our Mishnah says you're allowed to go with a kavul pei nachris to a chatzer. Bishlam l'rav nicha. That seems to fit Rav a little bit better from the fact that the Dafka chooses these two items. Yes, these two you can go out into the chatzer with. Makes a lot of sense that all the other items you're not allowed to go out into the chatzer with. El Rabbi Anani bar Sasson kasha. But according to Rabbi Anani bar Sasson, now it's going to be difficult. But how is he going to explain why we chose Dafka these two items that you're allowed to go out with in the chatzer? He yields everything you're allowed to go out with in the chatzer. So Rabbi Anani bar Sasson made the man. He wasn't saying this on his own. He was saying this in the name of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Tanahu Upalig. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is a Tana in his own right, and therefore he has the right to be Cholik. And in a chinami, it's against the Mishnah, but he's allowed to go against the Mishnah. V'Rav Maishna Hani. Now, according to Rav, why would Kavul and Pei Nachris, not just according to Rav, according to our Mishnah, now the way we're saying it, why would Kavul and Pei Nachris be the only ones that are going to be Mekil that you're allowed to go out with into a Chatzah? You're allowed to go out into the chatzar with Amar Ula Kadesh Lo Tizkana Al Baila, that we don't want her to appear disgusting to her husband. In order that she should look nice for her husband, we're going to be a little more makel with the kavul and pei nachris. Kiditanya, like the Bryce of Darshans, pasuk says V'hadava binidasa Zekenim Rishonim Amru Shlo Tichol Vlo Tifkos Lo Tizkashi V'bigdei Tzivonim, that the Zekenim Rishonim thought that a woman while she's in Nida should not do anything to make herself look nice. She shouldn't put on any makeup, shouldn't wear nice clothing, shouldn't do anything to make herself look nice. Ad shabar Rabbi Akiva v'limeid imkena to megan al baila v'nimtza baila megarsha. So until Rabbi Akiva came along and said, if you do that, then she's going to be megan al baila, and her husband's going to want to divorce her. It's a terrible idea. El matam lomer v'adava b'nidasa. So what do we learn out from v'adava b'nidasa? B'nidasa tei ad shetava b'mayim, that she remains a nida until she enters the water, until she actually goes to the mikvah. So therefore, meaning what are we trying to show from there? That we see from there that Lotiskan al Baila is a legitimate concern. It's such a concern that Rabbi Kiva changed the halacha, that the Zekenim Rishonim thought that while a woman is in Nida, best to stay away from appearing attractive. We don't want her to appear too attractive to her husband at that time of the month. Rabbi Kiva said, no, Shlotiskan al Baila, he's going to be Megarisher. Chassam Sofer points out in the Chuvin, Yardeas from Kuftzadi Dalin, the Zekenim Rishonim were the Talmidim of Shammai. Why is that important? Because in Gittin, Daf Tzadi Aleph, at the very end of Maseches Gittin, the very last Mishnah of Maseches Gittin, discusses what many say should have been the first Mishnah, right? What you would think logically should have been the first Mishnah of Gittin, and that is, it discusses what is a good reason to get divorced. When is it a good enough reason to get divorced? And It was the Shammai who said that in the Talmid Shammai that said that lo yigari shalom kein matzah ba dvar erva, that there's no good excuse to get divorced unless you find that she was cheating on you or something like that. That is dvar erva, but stam that she doesn't look so pretty, that's not a good enough reason to get divorced. And therefore, so the Shammai is not worried that the Zaken of Rishonim aren't worried that Tzitzkan al Baila, he can't do anything about it anyway. Rabbi Kiva was worried about that, he doesn't want her to get divorced. Okay, so anyway, so Amr Vidom Rav, Kal Makam Shosu Cham Ne Maris Ayin Afil B'Chadrei Chadar Maser, a halacha about Maris Ayin, anytime the Chazal asked anything, Mishom Maris Ayin, they asked it even in Chadrei Chadarim, even if you do it in complete private. Tanan V'lo B'Zug Afal Pi Shepakuk, V'Tani Idach, Pokek Lazug B'Tzavaru Matay Lima B'Chatzar. We have a stira in between a Mishnah and a Braisa. We have a Mishnah that says you can't go out with the animal can't go out with a bell around its neck, even if it's stuffed up so that it's not making any noise, because it looks like it's a marisayin. It looks like you're going to the market. And Tani Yidok, we have another Braisa that Pokek Lazug B'Tzavaru and Matay Lima B'Chatzar, and you're allowed to go out with it in the Chatzar. And Sugmara Tanaihi, that's a Machlokas Tanaim. Tanya, we have a brisa. Shotchem b'chama v'lo k'neged ha'am. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Ostrin, that for your kelim became wet, so you're allowed to spread them out in the sun, but lo k'neged ha'am, just not in public, because people are going to think you washed your clothing. On Shabbos, going to be marasayin. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon say no, it's aser even lo k'neged ha'am, because anything that's aser mishamarasayin is aser even v'chadrei chadarim. Rashi points out that we hold that something that's also mishum arasayin is also mishum chadri chadarim. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon holds like Rav, right? That's why lo k'neged ha'am. Magen Avraham just asked, the Tosfos Maseches Ksubos points out that we don't say kol makom shasu mishum arasayin v'chadri chadarim is aser unless they're going to be choshed that you did an isur d'araisa, like shodchan b'chama, that they're going to be choshed that you did laundry on Shabbos. But when they're only choshed you can do an isur d'rabanan, then they were never gozer b'chadri chadarim. So the Gemara l'chora should have answered that. That what's the whole concern by the bell? That you went lechinga, that you go out to the market. That's only nisid rabbanan. They're going to be choshish do mekach memkar. That's only nisid rabbanan to begin with. Okay, so we'll stop there. We'll pick up tomorrow with the two dots.